We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and I want to ask you a question. How much attention have you paid to this whole issue of warrantless surveillance in this country? Because you talk about sheer demagoguery, as the great communicator used to say. Ronald Reagan used to love that phrase. When somebody would attack him or say something, he would say, "Now this is sheer demagoguery," and he might have been right. In this case, there's a lot of demagoguery out here about the warrantless surveillance stuff that's going on, what the Bush administration has dubbed, and Fox News and a few of the other conservative talk outlets have picked up, as the Terrorist Surveillance Act. Well, let's go back a little bit and let's talk about this. So it turns out we discovered through the reporting in the New York Times that the Bush administration was doing warrantless surveillance. That is, they were bypassing the FISA court, the court that was set up after Watergate and all the eavesdropping that was going on then illegally. They bypassed the court saying, well, we can't be bothered with the courts. You know, we need it quicker. And people pointed out, well, wait a minute, Mr. President. What do you mean you need it quicker? It allows you, well, we have to be able to react quicker. You know, with cell phones today and multiple phones and throwaway phones, we just can't use this antiquated system. But wait a minute, Mr. President. The FISA law allows you to start the surveillance and you've got 72 hours to go and get the warrant from the courts. Oh, yeah, but this is too much. It's too burdensome. Well, what happened ultimately is we found out that not only were they didn't want to go to the court for each warrant, to go after each terrorist or each terrorist cell, they basically wanted to grab millions of messages and filter through them and see what they could find by phishing. Here's the thing. The fundamental principle set up when the FISA court was set up in 1978 was this. You always want one branch of government to be checked and balanced by another. So if the executive branch is going to have this power, whether it's in the Justice Department, the FBI, the CIA, then you want a different branch of government, in this case the courts, to oversee it and say, okie dokie, we agree, we understand the importance of this, we know what you're doing, you're answerable to us, we will agree, we will let you go ahead. Post 9/11, the Bush administration is fond of making the argument that everything changed since 9/11, right? Well, what they want to argue is you can't operate under these old laws. They're archaic, right? Well, John Woo, the lawyer in the Justice Department that was responsible for some of the more outrageous claims about the ability to violate our civil rights, with the concurrence of Alberto Gonzalez, then President Bush's White House lawyer, now, or chief counsel, I guess would be his name, now outgoing attorney general, he has about, what's today? Today is the 17th. He has 13 days in office. And then he's done at the end of this month. Then, back then, John Woo and Alberto Gonzalez said, well, you have to understand, now that 9/11 has happened, the Geneva Conventions are quaint and old-fashioned. We certainly can't be expected to adhere to them because these soldiers are not really soldiers. They're not wearing uniforms. They're not reporting to regular armies. And the country was in so much fear that we bought much of this, just as much of the country has bought the warrantless surveillance when it came out. Now, keep in mind, the Bush administration tried to hide this as long as they could. And to this day, whether you're listening to a conservative like Laura Ingraham on a weekday morning, or Rush Limbaugh on a weekday afternoon, or Sean Hannity late afternoon, all of these folks argue that the New York Times was despicable to print this information to let the American people know that this stuff was going on, and they should be prosecuted. Persecuted to the full extent of the law. So I believe how they look at it. Well, I got news for you. The New York Times performed a valuable service when they exposed this because the Bush administration is in violation of the law. Now, I'm not going to be like the Republicans were in 1998 when they argued, oh, rule of law, impeach the peach. I'm not arguing that Bush should be impeached, but I am arguing he broke the law. He took too much power to the executive branch and claimed that the president can do whatever he has to do because we're at war. And this is a dangerous time, so the president's got to have the freedom to do all this. No, you still get checks and balances. And the last thing we want is this unitary executive that neocons keep arguing for. The president in this country has a tremendous amount of power, but we usually have presidents that respect the limits of their office. And we usually have presidents that figure out how to work together with Congress. And we usually have a president that has some perspective on these things. But with this group, what we've got is George Bush being pushed by first Dick Cheney, and then until recently Karl Rove, and others saying, you know, you should govern as conservative as you can. The heck with the idea the country split 50-50. We got the reins of power. Let's start galloping. And you should take whatever power you can. Leave it to Congress to put the brakes on. In fact, that came out in an article about a week ago that, I forget who it was, it was David Addington, who was Dick Cheney's lawyer in the vice president's office. And then when Scooter Libby got in trouble and was forced out, David Addington became chief of staff for Vice President Dick Cheney. And Addington said, we're just going to push and push until somebody makes a stop, meaning Congress or the courts. So no respect for the rule of law, no respect for separation of powers. We're going to grab as much power as we can, and we dare you guys to stop us. We're at war. The people are going to allow us to get away with a lot of crap, seems to be the attitude. Well, it's in that context that the warrantless surveillance plan was formulated. And again, if you listen to the conservative talk show hosts, from, you know, Hannity to Savage, from O'Reilly to O'Leary, I don't know. If you listen to these folks, they don't have a problem with this. Now, what's really strange politically is that imagine that Al Gore had won the presidency, and imagine that Al Gore had done everything George Bush had done. He wouldn't have. For example, he wouldn't come out with all those Bushisms. But he also wouldn't have gone into Iraq. But let's imagine he'd gone into Iraq. Let's imagine that he put forth the warrantless wireless surveillance plan, didn't tell Congress. Let's imagine that he signed off on the secret prisons that we had in Eastern Europe and other places around the country, that we disappeared people into these prisons and didn't tell anybody, including the International Red Cross, anybody, that we'd taken these people off the face of the earth and not accounted for them. Let's imagine that happened under a President Gore and then it came out. Do you know where Sean Hannity would stand on this? Do you know what Rush Limbaugh would be saying about a President Gore? Do you know what Michael Savage would be saying about a Democratic administration that did that? These guys are particle political hacks. They would not say, oh, well, President Gore is doing the right thing for the country. We should know. They would use it for partisan political advantage. And, of course, that's exactly what they either accuse the Democrats of doing when they raise false. Excuse me, but there's a little thing called the Constitution here. Our rights are being violated. No. They don't even limit it to that. The Republican attack is that the New York Times is treasonous for having told the American people that their government was in violation of current law. And the Washington Post, when it reported the secret prisons in about the same time frame, the Washington Post was irresponsible in aiding and abetting our enemy. No, let me tell you something about our enemy. Our enemy is not all that powerful. Yes, they sucker punched us on 9/11, but they haven't done all that much since. And I'm not sitting here, you know, daring them to attack, as President Bush said, with keep bring it on. I'm just saying, let's be realistic about the relative dangers out here in the world. And we lose, 450,000 people to lung cancer every year. Is that right? I get my numbers confused between the numbers that, and something like 20 to 30,000 to drunk drivers and 47,000 on the highways, period. And there's deaths by all kinds of cancer and heart disease, lung disease, accidents in the home. There's all kinds of things that cost us many, many more lives than the terrorists have taken in the last 6 years. But we don't have a sense of urgency about cutting those deaths. But when we're attacked from outside by this group that, this is not Nazi Germany or the Soviet Union coming after us. They don't have much power. They had box cutters and they used our planes against us. That'll never happen again. And not because we've reinforced cockpit doors and we're taking off our shoes before we get on airplanes. It's because any threat to an American airliner would not be met with passive resistance again, where we sat down and let the terrorists with the box cutters, you know, hijack the plane to Cuba as they did in the 60s or run it into a building. No. Anytime it happened again, the Americans in their seats would say, let's roll, as they did over Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And they would stop the terrorists. We've got built-in vigilantes in this country again. Now, the problem is the government can't say, hey, take matters into your own hands if there's a terrorist attack. But you know that's what would happen. But we've got this level of fear in the country that the Republicans have ginned up because it serves their election purposes. And they want you to be afraid, so they raise the terrorist alert election levels before the elections. It's a pretty clear pattern about this. And Bush and Cheney, you know, Reagan had this sunny disposition and thought, you know, positive things. He was an optimist. Now, Bush claims he's an optimist, but look at all the negative rhetoric you get. We can't pull out. We might, you know, it'll be a debacle in Iraq. And it might be. But he doesn't know that for sure. He's been wrong about everything else. Why wouldn't he be wrong about this? And we can't know for sure that terrorists aren't threatening to attack, so we have to put Jersey barriers around the Lincoln Memorial and the Jefferson Memorial. Why? They're not going to kill any people if they blow those up. I know they're important symbols. But this is no way to fight a war on terror. And when we come back, we'll continue.
terrorist got bombed. The president got hit. Security was tied. Yeah, the Secret Service got lit.
We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and that was the Rainmakers, a wonderful band from the 90s, in 80s and 90s, from Kansas City. Bob Walkenhorst is the author of most of their songs and a great songwriter. That's a little bit of a lighthearted song and, frankly, a little bit depressing. But speaking of depressing, let's go back to the current situation with terrorism in this country. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the cost to terrorism before we get talking about the new law that they want to pass. And keep in mind, what I want to get you to think about today is this renewal of the, what was it called? The, now I can't even think of it. The National Intelligence, no, it's not the National Intelligence Act. I can't even think of the name of the law all of a sudden. But basically, it's the foreign intelligence surveillance coverage, and the fact that in 2006, right before the election, a Republican president with a Republican-led Congress pushed through a law that was a huge mistake. And they browbeat people and had them scared and said, well, what, you don't want to fight the terrorists? Oh, no, we want to fight the terrorists. Please don't accuse us of being unpatriotic. And the Democrats fell in line, or they didn't have enough votes to stop them. And they gave Bush and the executive branch way too much power. Basically, they said, you don't need to do oversight. We'll let you police yourself. Now, the president has told us when the secret prisons came out in the news and when the warrantless surveillance came out. He assured us with the warrantless surveillance program, look, it's been checked. It's been recertified 14 times. Alberto Gonzalez said there was no dispute among leadership in the Justice Department or anywhere else. Well, it turns out that was a big fat lie. There was a huge dispute. If you've been following this at all, you know that Andy Card, then Chief of Staff, and Alberto Gonzalez, then the President's lawyer, went to John Ashcroft's bedside. He'd relinquished the power of the Attorney General to Comey, and together the people in the Justice Department said, you know, we can't certify this law as you're currently using it, this surveillance program as you're currently using it. So they wanted to go around Comey and went to Ashcroft's bedside. He was groggy. His wife was there. Comey raced there. He called in FBI Director Mueller and said, don't let him remove me from the room. I want to hear what's going on. And they tried to take a groggy Attorney General Ashcroft and say, you should take back the power that you signed over to Comey so that you can sign off on this. Ashcroft said, no. I may be groggy, but I know enough to know your Attorney General standing over there. He's the acting Attorney General, and I'm with him on this. So, with that as background, and knowing that the Bush administration is just going to go for more power, and, you know, they trust themselves. And this is the problem with the talk show hosts. You know, there's a reason why most talk radio is on the right, right? And I'm not going to get into it now, but it's not because their opinions are right and the people on the left can't seem to generate an audience because their opinions are wrong. No, there are more people that want their prejudices confirmed on the right. And so they'll listen to Rush Limbaugh and the rest of the holy BS crowd. Holy being H-O-L-I, Hannity, O'Reilly, Limbaugh, and Ingram. And BS being Neil Bortz and Michael Savage. Six of the top 10 radio talk show hosts. Demagogues, every one of them. And they draw huge audiences because you don't have to think when you listen to them. They tell you what's right. And you sit back and you say, you know, that sounds pretty good to me. It saves me having to read about it. Saves me having to think. Unfortunately, the guy you're listening to isn't thinking. And so when Bush proposes a surveillance program where the checks and balances are all within his administration, all within the executive branch, the people that back this president say, oh, that's okay, we trust this guy. I got a newsflash for you, folks on the right. How will you feel when Hillary Clinton inherits the same powers as president? Or how would you feel if Al Gore had won or John Kerry had run? You'd be against them having this power. You'd want checks and balances from another branch of government. But since it's your guy, you trust him and you figure he'll do the right thing. You would never abuse that power. That's not how America works. You put checks and balances in place so that nobody abuses the power. So I want you to think about this, whether you're on the right or the left. Why doesn't it make sense to have checks and balances? The law that Congress passed in 2006, Republican Congress supporting a Republican president, gave away the store. It allows phone calls and emails to be intercepted without a warrant, meaning without the courts being involved, if one or both parties, that is, on the phone call or the email, are, quote, reasonably believed to be abroad and the subject of a national security or terrorism investigation. Well, that just means the FBI or the CIA just has to certify. Oh, yeah, we believe this. So we're going after it. Checks and balances are there for a reason. You're going to be sorry you agreed to this, my fellow Republicans. Actually, they're not fellow Republicans. Republicans and conservatives out there, if Hillary gets in, you'll rue the day. You'll want the law changed back immediately. In the same way that, you know, you don't want to give a President Clinton fast-track authority to negotiate trade deals, but you'd give it to Bush. That's the problem with partisans on the right and on the left, is they think they're trustworthy, but the other side isn't. No, if there's one lesson from our founding fathers and mothers, it's that it's not a matter of trust, it's a matter of checks and balances so that nobody is allowed to get too far out of whack. And let me tell you, we got a president that's pretty far out of whack. So this new law, which the administration is pushing, the Director of National Intelligence, Mike McConnell, is going up to Capitol Hill this week to get an extension to the government's power to read emails, to listen to telephone calls, and to carry out other surveillance within the U.S., which it's never been allowed to do before. The FISA courts always had to handle these foreign surveillance issues. And it had to be communication among foreigners. He's going to look for renewal of this 2007 Act. Now, at the time, it was only put in force, I think, for 6 months. That's why they're back so soon. No, I guess it was a year. But it's time to put checks and balances in play. And what's interesting is the way the Republicans talk about it, the way the holy BS crowd talks about it, the talk show hosts all say, well, the Democrats or the people who speak out against us, they don't want to protect us against terrorism. That is such crap. And in the words of Ronald Reagan, this is sheer demagoguery. Stop it already. All they're saying is give us checks and balances. Make them accountable to a second branch of government. Don't let Bush have his people check on his other people or any president. That's all they're asking for. And the conservatives and the Republicans stand up and act like the sky is falling. that, well, if the terrorists attack again, it'll be the Democrats' fault. Stop it. That argument is so weak. So weak. Get it out of here. Let's go back to checks and balances. And, you know, this is one of the problems I have with the way the Bush administration, Bush in particular, Cheney, have gone about this, and the talk show hosts that mimic what they want and what they say, because they're raising the level of fear in this country. Bush is not an optimist. He says he's an optimist by nature. Why is so much of his rhetoric pessimistic then? Well, I think we know why. It's pessimistic because it works. That's been driving voters to the polls. I don't think that's going to work again, Mr. President. We shall see. But when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the rights that we've given up since September 11th. People say everything's changed since September 11th. America's changed. Yeah, but not in the way you think. We got a few little problems on our hands here, and we need to do something about it. We'll be right back.